Acts, do you remember where? I think it was somewhere in the Bible. Somebody will say, it's in the Bible somewhere. That was Sunday school, Jim. You're a service behind, Jim. Catch up. Come on, catch up. Acts 11. Well, we started in 22, but the verse is 26. So since I already read all of the passages for it, I'm just going to read verse 26 tonight. You know the verse anyway, don't you? Yes, you do. Acts 11:26, the Bible says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Father, thank you for allowing us to be back together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for those that came out on this evening. We do pray and ask that you would be with us. Again, Lord, it's good to see faces that some we haven't seen in quite a while. It's just good, Lord, to be reunited with friends and our church family. We pray that you'd continue to bless and move upon individuals. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to help. And, Lord, we ask for your healing upon those in our church that have been sick. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, that we know where we're going to spend eternity when we die someday. It is so good to know that if the rapture occurred tonight, as we've already heard in our prayer with Brother Chris, that we're going to have no more suffering. We're going to be able to spend eternity with you. There's going to be no more death, no more crying, no more pain. Lord, we thank you for the promises that we have in the Word of God. It's such an encouragement to us to know, Lord, where we're going to spend eternity. We thank you, Lord, for the home that you are preparing for us there in glory. We thank you, Lord, for the promises that you have given to us in the Word of God. And we know, Lord, that we feel and we believe that we are living in the very last days of time that we know of. And Lord, we know that our days here on earth is short. And so, Lord, help us to live for you. Lord, again, I ask tonight that you would help us to be the Christians, true Christians that we need to be. Compared to your word, Lord, I pray that we would be Bible Christians and true Christians. Lord, so speak to our hearts tonight as we continue this message. In Jesus' name, amen. A.W. Tozer said this, and I'm going to quote him. He said, "The contemporary moral climate does not favor a faith as tough and vibrous as that taught by our Lord and his apostles. The delicate, brittle saints being produced in our religious hothouses today are hardly to be compared with the committed, expendable believers who once gave their witness among men. And the fault lies with our leaders." And I say amen to that. "They are too timid to tell the people all the truth. They are now asking men to give to God that which costs them nothing." End of quote. That reminds me of 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. If you want to turn over there, please do that. 2 Samuel 24, 24. David was told by God to build an altar. It says in 2 Samuel 24, 24, "And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver." He said that he was willing to pay whatever price that was worth. Araunah wanted to give it to David, said, "Hey, you can have it." But David said, no, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to do something that it doesn't cost me. That, to me, is a sign of true Christianity. So many today, so often, I feel that so often Christians today are looking for something free. Now, I like free as much as anybody, right? You see the sign free, and you immediately, you're drawn to that, whatever that is. And so we're looking for something free, or we look for great discounts on all kinds of things. We're always looking for a bargain. Many Christians are the same when it comes to Christianity. They want a bargain Christianity. They want to make Christianity cheap. That to me is wrong. It costs the Lord everything. And yet so many Christians are not willing to pay anything for the Lord. When I say pay, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our lives. But I will throw in there the tithe and the offering. Christians just think that they can go through life. They don't have to tithe. Don't have to give a thing to the Lord. This is a free ride to heaven. That's what we got. We got a free ride to heaven. And so we treat our Christianity like the free ride to heaven. And it is. Salvation is free. Thank God for that. Our home in heaven is completely free. Thank God for that. But it doesn't mean that this Christianity shouldn't cost us something. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't sacrifice some things to the Lord. We should be willing to sacrifice our time, our talents, and our treasures to the Lord. We should be willing to do that. What makes us better than the Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing makes us better than Him. But how many Christians do you know and I know today that they don't do it? Don't sacrifice their time, don't sacrifice their talents, don't sacrifice their treasures. Forget the tithe, you know, and forget our time for the Lord. We have too many other things. We have too many shows to watch on TV. We have too many activities in our life that takes up all of the time that we have. God gave us 24 hours a day, not to spend it all for us, but to spend it for Him and do the things that we need to do in our life. So I said this morning that Christianity is not convenience, it's not confusion, it's not covetousness, it's not comfortable, it's not commercialism, it's not competition, it's not condemning, it's not complicated, it's not compromising, it's not conformity, and it's not being a coward. Boy, when I read this book and I see Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, what they went through, they were not cowards. Christianity, as I said this morning, and I will pick up where I left off, but Christianity is a confession. It's confessing Jesus Christ. It's what it is. I know that it can be intimidating to give some great, burly, big, burly guy or some mean-looking person a gospel tract, but it shouldn't be that difficult for us to do that. We should be able to give anybody a gospel tract. It's confession. That's part of the confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is a commitment to God, a 100% sold-out commitment to the Lord. That's what Christianity is supposed to be. That's what I believe true Christianity is that, a total commitment. Not, well, let me see, I'll give the Lord part of my time, and the rest of my time, it's going to be for me. No, it's to be a complete commitment. Christianity is a time of being confident in the Lord. Not in yourself, but in the Lord. Not in another human being, but in the Lord. Confidence in Him. Confidence in His Word. The Lord never, ever, ever has steered us wrong. The Lord has never told us a lie or a fib. He's never directed us in the wrong direction. He only does us good. Even when we have to be chastised, it's for our good. It's confidence in Him. Christianity is conquering. It's having that conquering attitude. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's a conquering attitude. I can do this. I've told you this before. Maybe you're tired of hearing it, but I'm tired of Christians saying, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do this. And why do we have to have the word can't in our vocabulary all the time? I can't come to church, and I can't do this, and it's like, after a while, it's, I'm sorry, but it's a little sickening. I wonder sometimes how the Lord feels. If I know how I feel, how does the Lord feel about that? We should have an attitude that, you know what, I can do this. I can do this. I can live a Christian life. I think the last thing I said this morning was Christianity is a connection with God. Connection. Being able to, isn't it a blessing to be able to tune into the throne of grace? Isn't it a blessing just to be able to think and you can get to heaven? Isn't that amazing? You don't have to dial a number. You don't have to get a busy signal. You don't have to get call waiting. I'm so thankful that when you get in touch with God, there's no call waiting. He doesn't drop the call. Oh, I'm in a bad section here. I'm losing you here, Lord. No, that's not the way it works. Not with God. Not with God. We can have a connection with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's take a look at another one. First Corinthians chapter 15. This is a big one. To me, these are all big. This is a big one. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Paul wrote this. He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I wrote this down, what Christianity is. It's consistence. It's consistence. It's a day-to-day Christianity. It's a 7 day a week, 24 hour a day, 365 days a year. Until you go to heaven, you are a Christian and you are to act like one. And I'm not just saying you, I'm saying we, us. I don't mean to puff them up at all. I don't mean to draw attention to them, but I do have to say this because it was a real, real blessing to me when Doug and Donna did the senior saints thing there a couple weeks ago. Was it last Saturday? I've lost track of time already. But when Donna said, it feels so good to serve the Lord. It's so good to do something for God. That was a blessing when you said that. That's what Christianity is supposed to be. It's a consistency. It's something we're consistent. We should be consistent in what we do. I think by now, 30 and a half years, I think that you would say that you pretty much know that I will be at every service. Would you say that? Do I just not show up? No, I'm here. Have I been tempted to just stay in the house and watch you online? No, I really have not. That was kind of a funny thing this morning. But I think that you would say that I'm pretty consistent in my attendance and in my pastoring. I'm certainly far from perfect. I have a long ways to go, and I won't be perfect till I get to heaven. But consistency is a big thing. It should be a major part of our life. And I have to say this. There are some of you, I know you are consistent. You are here most of the time, if not all of the time. You're consistent. That is important, and I believe it's important to the Lord. We need to be consistent, and I know I keep bringing this up, and I don't mean to harp on, I'm not harping on money, I'm just saying consistency, even when it comes to giving, is important. We tithe when we're low on money. We tithe when there's other things we could purchase. We don't say, oh, I don't know if I can tithe this week, we got to buy food for us, or I got a bill we got to pay, or I got this we got to do, or that we got to do. No, we still tithe. We're going through a little thing with Kathy's medicine. Her medicine is extremely expensive, very expensive. Until we meet this deductible, it's very, very expensive. And the insurance won't pay for this particular medicine that she needs for her heart. And so we pay for it. It's just one of those things we buy, we pay for. It's not a big problem, but there's a lot of money going out for that one particular medicine. Her other medicine is free. I don't know how they do that. I say, we don't pay anything on this. I pay zero for my medicine that I take. Nothing. Don't pay anything. She pays nothing for her other medicine. All of a sudden, this one medicine she needs, it's like, whoa, what? A 30-day supply is what, $400 and some odd? $460 for a month's supply of this Eliquis that she needs to take for her heart. But we don't sit there and say, well, is it the medicine or the tithe? We tithe, and the Lord blesses that. I really believe that consistency should be something that is on our radar all the time. Being consistent. Consistently reading our Bibles. Do you read your Bible every day? You better say amen. You better go like this, yeah. No, I'm not threatening you. I'm just saying. You should be. It should be a consistent thing. Every day you ought to be in your Bible reading. You ought to be praying every day. It's a consistency thing. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Saying, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Lord, how can I serve you here? Lord, what do you want me to do in this ministry? What do you want me to do in this church? Lord, what do you want me to do? We should always be seeking for the Lord to use us in some way, shape, or form within our ministries. There should be consistency in all of our lives. Not just a preacher, not just the trustees, not just a handful, not just the Sunday school teachers, but there should be consistency within all Christianity. Because true Christianity is consistency. Being consistent. That should be our goal. Lord, how can I be more consistent in what I do and how I react to things? There needs to be consistency. So Christianity is that. I mean, we see these verses that I've shared with you today. These are all biblical verses that deals with these particular topics that we've looked at so far today. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. First Peter. I was going in the wrong direction. Come on, Pastor, get with the program here. First Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, some people would say, well, that's just talking to about the Jews. No, it's not just talking about the Jews. You can throw Jews in there, about the chosen, about the holy nation, peculiar people, whatever you want to do. But listen, we've all been called out of darkness into light. Amen? Every one of us. We are a chosen generation. God has chosen us to be part of his family. We are a royal priesthood now. We don't have to go to a priest every day or every week or whatever it is. We go directly to Jesus Christ, and he has made us part of the royal priesthood. All saved people are part of that royal priesthood. We are to be a holy group of people. And certainly we would say we are peculiar. Amen? Yeah, we're peculiar, all right. And I know you're the chief peculiar person in this room. Well, maybe so. But we all ought to be that way. And that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I wrote this, the word that I would assimilate with that verse is consecration. Consecration. Consecration, according to Webster, is the act or ceremony of separating from a common to a sacred use, or of devoting and dedicating a person or thing to the service and worship of God. That's consecrating or consecration. I'll say it again. The act or ceremony of separating from a common to a sacred use, or of devoting and dedicating a person or thing to the service and worship of God. Consecration. Every one of us have been consecrated to the Lord. Will you please tell me in a word, said a Christian woman to a pastor, what your idea of consecration is? Holding out a blank piece of paper, the pastor replied, it is to sign your name at the bottom of this blank sheet of paper and let the Lord fill in as his will. But so often we take our paper and we got it all spelled out, what we want to do for God, and we've got it all written out. We take it to God and say, God, you know, here's my list. Here's my grocery list of all the things that I want to do. And the Lord is looking at that saying, not one of those things is of my will. Just sign the paper with your name and say, Lord, you fill the paper up. Or put anything on that paper that you want. Consecration. What Christianity really is, it's consecration. We have been set aside for the purpose of serving God. Set aside for what God wants us to do. Set aside for service and worship of God. That's what the Lord wants for us. Mark 16, 15. Mark 16, 15, you know this verse. If you've ever looked at in our hallway, that border that goes all through the hallway has this verse on the border. And Mark 16, 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Who was that written to? Who was that written to? Just the apostles? No, I don't think just the apostles. Just certain ones? No. It is telling us that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is an every person vision. Can the Lord save everybody? He certainly could. Everybody right now, all of a sudden, throughout the whole entire world, just decided to bow their heads and ask the Lord to save them, forgive them of their sins, and come into their heart and save them. The Lord would be, He would be more than willing to save everybody. And so true Christianity is this, and I wrote this word down. It goes along with this verse. It's conspicuous. Our Christianity ought to be conspicuous. Other people ought to see it. They ought to see it on our faces. They ought to hear it in our words. They ought to see it in our actions. They ought to see it as we go through life. Our Christianity ought to be conspicuous. It ought to be noticeable. But sometimes it's not that noticeable because we have other things on our minds. I'm just having a bad day. All right. Well, I guess we all have days that could be classified as bad days, but it doesn't mean that we should give up on Christianity on that day. When they were cursing out the Lord and spitting on His face and pulling out His beard and putting a crown of thorns on His head and mocking Him and nailing Him to a cross, He had a bad day. He had a very bad day. He had a worse day than you'll ever have. But He still went to that cross for you and me with love in His heart. And love in you and I believe, in His mind somehow. He saw every human being that He was dying for that day. Our witness, our Christianity ought to be conspicuous. We ought to care about other. We ought to care about lost souls. We ought to care about discipling saved souls. We ought to care about those missionaries back there on that wall over there, all those letters. We ought to care about them. You show your care when you give, obviously, right? You can say all you want. You can say that you love missions and you love the church, but it's really proven when you give. Our Christianity ought to be conspicuous. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2:41. "And they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Our Christianity ought to be contagious. I got to tell you, those early Christians, they had a contagious sense about them. That when they gathered together, this was a daily thing that they did. They didn't come to church once a week. Some people, they think they're doing God a great favor when they show up once a week. Hey, I made it to church, God. Give me an attaboy. These folks were meeting daily. They were going from house to house. Many of these were house churches. And they were gathering together. They were having fellowship. They were breaking bread. They were doing communion or having a meal together. They were praying together. We see that in verse 42. And they just, I'll tell you, they had, this Christianity was contagious. 3,000 souls saved in one day. Did you notice that the Bible says there in that last verse, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily? Daily. How could the Lord do that daily? I believe a lot of it had to do with the people, not only the apostles preaching, but the people going out and getting other people to attend these churches. Daily. We read about 5,000 souls being saved in Acts chapter what? 4, I believe it is. 5,000 being saved. We got 3,000 being saved. We have people daily being saved. Not a number every time, but that this was something that was contagious. We got a thing going around now that's contagious. It's called the coronavirus, COVID-19. And everybody's scared to death of it. We Christians ought to be contagious about the Lord. We're so concerned about the virus that we've shut down churches, we've shut down everything else, and nobody can do anything for God at all. But these early Christians had a contagious spirit about them that they just said, you know what, we're just going to go and preach the gospel. And that's the next thing that I want to bring up. Acts 4 and 5, true Christianity is contention. These apostles were out there preaching the word of God, and they were being arrested. They were being beaten. A little further along, we see James is beheaded. We see that Stephen is stoned for just preaching the word of God in Acts 7. Paul the apostle, before his salvation, was an instigator of the church. A hater of the Christian church, a hater of Christians. There was a lot of contention in that early church. There was a lot of contention between the government and the people. There was a lot of contention between the religious leaders and the true Christians. When you read the book of Acts, you have no problem seeing who the real Christian was. Right? You know who the real Christian was. You know who the real Christians were. You had no problem figuring out who they were, because there was something about them. Their contention was not that they were trying to start a fight or start trouble or get, you know, running around shouting and yelling and screaming and having everybody look at them. They were out there just preaching the gospel, and they were getting in trouble for it. But they said, you know what? We ought to obey God rather than man. And that is what they did. True Christianity is going to bring about contention. You may have contention in your house because of it. In your home because of true Christianity. One party is trying to live for God and the other party is trying to live for themselves. You're going to have contention. You're going to have contention at your job, your place of employment possibly. Somebody's trying to live for God at that place and people know about that, and they'll do everything they can to draw you down to their level. That's happening all over the place. Contention. But it doesn't mean that you drop down to their level. You stay serving God, and hopefully you can bring them up to your level and up to the level where they can get saved and honor the Lord. There's going to be contention in our life as a true Christian. Every Old Testament saint, New Testament believer, contention. Joseph, David, Daniel, Moses, name them all. You see contention in their life. They weren't going around, you know, trying to win friends and influence others. They were trying to preach the gospel and live for Jesus Christ. And it meant contention. The people that we read about in Fox's Book of Martyrs and other places, their life was full of contention. Simply because they were living up to the standards of the New Testament. The standards of the Word of God. And it brought death to many. Somewhere around 50 million people during the Dark Ages lost their life because of their stand for the Lord. Contention. True Christianity is going to bring contention in your life. John chapter 16. I'm almost done. Hang in there. Doing good tonight. Look at the time. Wow. John 16. John 16. Try to get you home before the second half. Who cares, right? Amen. John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have set many things to say. I'm sorry. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. True Christianity is conviction. Conviction. A true Christian will be convicted of things in their life. If they're thinking wrong, they'll be convicted about it. If they're talking wrong, they'll be convicted about it. If they're not doing something that God wants them to do, they'll be convicted about it. True Christianity, you are giving yourself to the Lord to the point where the Holy Spirit is directing every footstep that you take. And when you take a little detour, the Holy Spirit's going to get a hold of your heart and say, whoa, 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 get back on course. Get back on the straight and narrow. Get back doing what you're supposed to be doing. A true Christian is under conviction about what God would have them to do. A true Christian, as a true Christian following the Lord, if God wants you to do something, you will know it. And hopefully you'll do it. And stop saying no to God. Stop saying no to the Holy Spirit. Just say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. In our Bible-believing churches today, we have so many things that could be done for the Lord within the church house. But sometimes we just have nobody to do them. We need conviction in our life. Sin seems to be so prevalent today. It seems to be rampant. As I said this morning, sometimes that television is our worst enemy. The things that come across the screen, the things that we sometimes allow our eyes to see and our minds to think about. When that happens, is there conviction about that? You know, every remote, we joked about the remote this morning, but every remote that I know of has an on-off button. Or it has a channel button. It has a mute button. Often, sometimes we sit down and all of a sudden, you know, that rock music starts coming on it. Boop, mute button. Ooh, I shouldn't see that. Change the channel or turn it off or something, right? Amen? It's the way it ought to be. There ought to be some conviction there. The Holy Spirit is to be working in our lives and in our hearts. Showing us what's right, showing us what's wrong, and then we ought to be choosing what's right. I sometimes wonder, how can people go for weeks and months and do nothing for God or not even show up to the church house? Months and months and months. Is there no conviction there? People can just not tithe and not give and not do what God wants them to do. Is there any conviction there? True Christianity will produce conviction. One more. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Paul's last will and testament. Paul's in prison, coming down to the end of his life. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy, verses 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. True Christianity is going to be costly. It may cost you your life. Now, I hope and pray it never comes to that, but it may cost you your life. It may cost me my life. We are living in the last days. Our government is doing things that I don't agree with, and you probably don't agree with either. I hope and pray that Jesus comes back before serious persecution takes place. But we have no clue when the Lord's coming back. We don't know. Might be back tonight. That'd be fine by me. Ruin the Super Bowl. Just ruin it. Ruin all of your plans. But true Christianity is costly. Paul says, I'm ready. I fought a good fight. I said this morning, is Christianity a playground or a battleground? You know the answer to that. It's a battleground. He says, I finished my course. Paul was reaching the finish line. And he says these words at the end of verse 7, I have kept the faith. He wasn't bragging. He was just telling the truth. Looking back throughout his entire Christianity, his whole Christian life, some 30 probably plus years, that he was a Christian, he realized that he could say, honestly, that he had kept the faith. And when I read those words, I say, amen, Paul, you certainly did, as far as I can tell. Right? Would you say the same thing? He kept the faith. But he fought. It was a grueling fight. I mean, he was fighting his own flesh. He was fighting the devil. He was fighting world philosophy. I mean, Paul was fighting everything against God's word. He fought everywhere he went. There was a battle that he was in. Every town he entered, every thing that he dealt with, he had to deal with Christians that were not serving God. He even names them in some of his epistles. He was dealing with the religious leaders. He was dealing with Jews trying to bring in the Judaism into the churches and telling people they had to be circumcised instead of being saved by grace through faith. I mean, he had to deal with every issue that you can think of. He probably dealt with a million issues that we've never even dealt with before. And it came down to the end of his life. It cost him his life. He gives his resume in several places, Philippians and in the book of Corinthians. He talks about, in the book of Galatians too, he talks about the stripes, the scars on his body, literal scars from his beatings that he took as a Christian. True Christianity is costly. True Christianity will cost you. Like David in 2 Samuel, he says, I'm not going to just take it for free. It's going to cost. I'm going to pay for this. I'm going to make sure it costs something. Can you say that about your Christianity? Does it really cost you something? I think of John the Baptist. I think of Mary. Mary. Do you know that her reputation was ruined for having Jesus? You get into a study of Mary and that whole thing there. Joseph had to protect her, and he did as much as he could. He protected her. But it cost Mary. It cost Stephen. It cost James and Paul. It cost Jesus. And so many Christians today, no, not going to cost me anything. So many today, they want the bargain Christianity. Yep, just give me a bargain, preacher. Give me a bargain, Lord. Get my get out of hell free card, and I'm good to go. No, you're not good to go with an attitude like that. Christianity is more than getting your get out of hell free card. It's serving the Lord. True Christianity is confession, commitment, confidence, conquering, connection, consistence, consecration, being conspicuous. It's supposed to be contagious. It's contention, it's conviction, and it's costly. That's what true Christianity is. I think of Noah, Moses, Joseph, Daniel, Samuel, David, Esther, Hannah, Ruth. Name them all. They all went through things that is just incredible. True Christianity. Would you say about you that you are a true Christian? You're saved. All right. Gotcha. Got that. Understand that. You're saved. But is your Christianity a Bible Christianity? Can you compare your life with the Bible? Those early disciples, those early apostles, things that they went through. Paul, Stephen, Philip. I mean, name them all. Barnabas. Is your Christianity, does it resemble anything like that? If it doesn't, it needs to. It needs to. Because that, I believe, is what's going to change this nation, is Christians getting serious about being a Christian. That, I believe, can bring about a revival. It's when Christians get serious. As I said this morning, I believe the devil has done everything he can to make us think that we don't have to be as dedicated as we should be. Oh, just go to church once in a while. You're okay. You're fine. You don't need to tithe. You don't need to witness. You don't need to read your Bible. You've got your get out of hell free card. You're good. Just sit back, relax, enjoy the ride. The devil has lied to so many people that way. He has destroyed churches and Christians with that philosophy. We're not living Bible Christianity today. I'm not saying just us. I'm seeing this across this globe, especially in America. We need serious Christians today. And it starts with us. Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray, Father, that you would work in all of our hearts and souls. Lord, you know what we need to do. You know where we need to confess, what we need to confess to you. Lord, you need